Okay, thank you. So with respect to education, there has been significant progress made with regards to curriculum. Our new curriculum is, of course, a work in progress, and we've revised significant components of the primary level of our education system, with that new curriculum being taught on grades 3, 4, 5, and 6. We are also in the process of completing significant portions of our secondary curriculum as well. Notably, we're currently in the process of integrating ESD, so Education for Sustainable Development, and its components into our curriculum. And so significant progress is being made. We've had several frameworks that have been developed under curriculum, and we plan to formalize them as a part of a priority in 2025. And we anticipate having a formal national sensitization on the advances in the curriculum. With respect to water and water shortages in schools, it is a factor that we are working on. Currently, one of the measures that we've put in place within our schools is to equip schools with water storage tanks. I will say all schools do not currently have them, but it is a phased approach and one where we look to increase the number of water storage tanks within various institutions. One of the factors that, of course, impacts whether or not a school is able to have one, of course, is the infrastructure and the current infrastructure that has implications for how quickly and how easily it can be installed. But it is a measure that we're taking in our schools. And we, of course, look forward to having water shortages not directly impact whether or not schools are opening in the short to medium term. Air conditioning in schools is something that we do look at. Of course, we are in the tropics and heat is an issue. Our schools are actually designed for airflow. Most of our buildings are quite open. That comes with pros and cons. Air conditioners are typically placed in specialized rooms, computer rooms, labs, and the like. One of the things that we do have to pay attention to, however, is because our buildings weren't actually designed with air conditionings in mind, that the placement of air conditions has to be done cautiously and with forethought to potential issues that can arise from condensation and the like. So we try to ensure that air conditioning units are only installed where absolutely required. With respect to spending in education, there are a lot of projects in education that are targeted towards our infrastructure. Sometimes there are barriers, however, money may be allocated in a particular year for infrastructure needs. And then what we find is that because there are issues in terms of contracts, awarding contracts, or phases of the project, a fiscal year may end before all the funds are allocated. So sometimes it's about the timing of things. And this, of course, is outside of education, because then we're dealing with other departments like our public works departments and private contractors. From the education point of view, we initiate our projects, but the speed of implementation and therefore the spending of the funds tied to those phases of building implementation are impacted. We do have a lot of programs in education, you are correct. Some of them are part of larger projects that we're working on. Some of them are part of just our recurrent activities. And some are linked to our social protection and social welfare programming. I'll speak to the issue of allocation. Yes, we do have programs for uniforms, which is provided through our social development. And we have programs for school feeding, for buses. As was mentioned, however, the Nevis Island administration does have some independence with regards to those things. So Nevis is the ones who determines whether or not their fees related to, say, school meals or busing. What I can say is those services are free in St. Kitts. There is no intention to change that. And with respect to whether or not their fees being charged in Nevis, the Nevis Island administration would have to look at that and the budgetary implications for them. With respect to teen pregnancy, we are aware that it is an issue. The teaching of sexual health and reproduction is something that does occur in schools through our health and family life education programming, through our guidance counseling services. The adequacy and the reach of it is one of those things that we do pay attention to. The reality is that there is still a very conservative society here. So while there are, while there's information shared and there's services accessible, whether or not teens will of course come forward for fear of persons finding out and then being shamed is a barrier, and I think has significant implications for the teen pregnancy rate. With respect to special education, we do have testing through our Spectrum Services Center. We do have testing through the Education Services Department with our Student Support Services units and officers within schools. What we do need to do, however, is increase the number of persons we have available for testing. I would say, however, that with respect to testing, our next barrier really is in the upskilling of our human resource. We need more persons adequately trained to treat. To test is one thing, but then the implementation of the, you know, the mediation for the child is the next barrier for us that we need to look at. And so I would say that with respect to special education, it's something that we keep in mind. There are things that we are doing. We look at in that ambit, not just children with intellectual disabilities, but also physical disabilities. And of course, special education also includes things like children with language barriers. It also includes gifted education, something that we often forget to talk about in special education, and basically just the needs of all children. So our goal right now is really focusing on how best to meet the needs of our children through the training of our teachers. Thank you.
Yes, I think all other responses we prioritize in our work.
Yes, I think that we now need to close.